Good afternoon, everyone. I would like to call the Education Committee to order. The time is 2:30 PM. Clerk, would you mind doing our roll call, please?
Congresswoman Goodfox?
Present.
Congresswoman Lemon? Congressman Potts?
Present.
Congressman Tillman?
Here.
Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Here.
Chair Redcorn?
Here. Thank you, Clerk. Next on our agenda is prayer. Congresswoman Whitehorn, would you mind doing our prayer this morning or afternoon?
I'd be honored. Thank you. Father God, we just thank you for this day. We just thank you for all your blessings. Lord, we just ask that you be with us now while we're going over the legislation before us that has to do with our student scholarships. Lord, we just ask that you help us evaluate what we're doing here and make good decisions for those people that are moving on with their education and their lives. Lord, we just we thank you for those that are in school. We ask a special blessing on them as they go through their courses this semester and next semester. Lord, be with them. Help open their eyes, give them a refreshed look at learning and finding out the things they need to know to carry them through their lives, Lord. I just thank you for this day. I thank you for this body, Lord. I just ask that you be with our leaders of the Osage Nation and our leaders in other government seats here in the state of Oklahoma and the United States, Lord. I just ask that you be with our men and women in uniform wherever they be in the world. And all these things I ask in your son Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Congresswoman. The next item on our agenda is the approval of minutes, and they should be in your meeting invite.
Chairwoman.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Move to approve minutes from September 19th, 2024 as presented.
There's a motion and a second. All of those in favor of the motion, please say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed, say no. The motion passes and the minutes are approved. The next item on our agenda is ONCA 24-96, an act to amend 11 ONC 4-102 of the Higher Education Scholarship to increase the amount per credit hour to adjust for tuition increases at higher education institutions and to establish an alternate effective date. The sponsor is Congressman Potts. You have the floor.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This bill is similar to a bill that I've brought multiple times before the committee. It tracks with keeping pace with the highest in-state tuition at each of the Carnegie classifications. This year, I had tasked our budget analyst, Mr. Jordan Frazier, with identifying where those increases from the Regents of Higher Education had impacted. He found that increases were made at the research universities and at the graduate level for the higher education institutions. And so this bill puts us in line with exactly the same thing we've done year after year, increasing those two for research universities and graduate level coursework at the highest in-state tuition for each of those Carnegie classifications. So with that, he may have a little bit more insight as to which institutions. I think I have that in an email somewhere, but happy to let Mr. Frazier speak to these numbers as well. But again, pretty straightforward on what we've done and what we've matched every year prior. And this is just increasing it for the next calendar year.
Committee, any questions? I don't, Mr. Frazier, I believe, is next door. You're hiding. You're behind the podium. I didn't see you. Do you want to speak to your fiscal analysis at all?
Thank you, Madam Chair. The research universities and graduate professional rate are based on the University of Oklahoma. And earlier this year, the University of Oklahoma Board of Regents announced they would increase tuition and mandatory fees by 3%, which equates to about $12 per credit hour for both of those rates. The total increase estimated is about $211,000 per academic year. That's based on average enrollment over the past 8 years.
Mr. Frazier, if I might, can you remind the committee what the balance that we've been given in the revolving fund for the higher education scholarship is at this moment?
Yes, just one moment, and I'll get it pulled up here. As of July 31st, it was $3.4 million. And Congress was set to appropriate $6.85 million to the fund.
Thank you. And I will remind the committee that we are all aware that while we are appropriating $6.85 million to the fund this year, the expenditures on the fund will still total around $8 million. Which is our trending amount that we tend to utilize from the fund. So that will lower the balance in the revolving fund. That amount that will be utilized and spent this year includes the increase to the rates that we did last year. We have all also been in conversation that we recognize that in future years, we will not be able most likely to lower the appropriation. There was enough in the fund this year to cover a lower appropriation this year. So just want to remind the committee where we stand with the funds in the fund and where our appropriation stands this year. And if this were to go through, it would affect the fund roughly by about $210,000 every year. Not necessarily all this year, being that the fall disbursements have all gone out. So in this fiscal year, that would look different because part of the appropriation and the fall payments are already being paid out to students for this fall semester. So while it would be a fiscal year conversation, it's not a school year conversation. So just some numbers and things to consider. Congressman Potts, when, just for the committee and anybody listening, when does this have the ability to take effect?
I'll have to double check the effective date on that. But as the handbook has already been published and stuff is already out, I don't think you're correct. It would not impact this fall.
Committee, anything else? Congresswoman Goodfox?
Jordan, did you double-checked, since you were tasked with this, the associate and tribal institutions? So a call went to the tribal colleges to see what their current tuition rate is for books and fees, and have those numbers stayed the same, or was that looked at, is my question.
Madam Chair, I looked at the highest in-state tuition for each Carnegie classification per Congressman Potts' direction, and I can look and see what those institutions were because I don't remember off the top of my head, but I did double check those as well. Yes, ma'am.
Committee, anything else or any follow-up?
Well, what tribal institution do you look at, just out of curiosity?
Madam Chair.
Sorry, I zoned out. Yes, go ahead.
If I can answer that too, and please, Mr. Fraser, correct me if I'm wrong. A tribal university or college university is not an actual Carnegie classification, which is how the law is structured. So a tribal university falls into, I believe, an associate college level.
It does.
So we track the associate college level, and the highest in-state level covers any of those colleges.
I hear that. I just want to make sure that we're being, I want to make sure we're being fair to our kids going to high school. And if they've seen an increase that goes over 172 per credit hour, keeping in mind that all the tribal colleges are a little bit different. I mean, they just are. I want to make sure that if we're checking for one, we're checking for all, even those ones that are, you know, whether it's Haskell or Turtle Mountain.
Madam Chair.
Sure, go ahead.
So this wouldn't check Haskell. It measures to the highest in state, which is just Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I get it. Oklahoma doesn't have a tribal college, but we do have Osages that are going to tribal college. And this is one of those areas where it's not real, you know, we have 2-year institutions, the 4-year baccalaureate, the research university, and those getting their master's degree, which fall within Oklahoma. But this is an area that we've had members that really didn't believe that tribal colleges should get anything. I'm not one of those members though. So yeah, I mean, I think we probably need to look at that, how we gauge our tribal members that are seeking their higher education at a tribal school. And maybe it doesn't need to be in the associate bracket. Maybe it needs to be in its own bracket. Because quite frankly, it's not an associate degree. We've got tribal colleges that are 4-year programs. Okay.
Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I'm happy to look at that. I'm happy to examine that. I'm looking for their tuition rates right now. So happy to consider that moving forward if we need to.
Yeah.
I don't disagree with that. They offer, you know, a number of our tribal schools offer baccalaureate degree programs, professional degrees. Yeah, I think that's, so that leads me to, and I'm going to direct my comments in a manner that I want everybody to hear me, that I'm not saying I am for or against this when I'm saying what I'm about to say. That leads me to the same thought that I've been having about how we do this program. Are we doing it in the way that is the best for our students? Are we actually meeting the needs of our students, all of our students? And are we thoroughly considering all of our students at the various places that they're at in their learning path and in their education career path? I personally, and I can only speak for myself, while this is an incredible fund and it has done amazing things for people in allowing people to get their degrees and pursue education goals and career goals, I will never argue that point. I won't. It's a good program. But I don't think that it's meeting our needs in the best way that it can for all of our students or for the most students possible. It is meeting a lot of needs, maybe wants, as far as scholarshiping certain degree programs in certain schools. It meets needs differently for each student, regardless of where you go to school. It could mean that you're able to pay for all of your college education at some schools. For an adult learner like myself, who is not staying on campus, doesn't need a meal plan, doesn't have activities, parking fees, lab fees, all those things, for me, it means that my degrees can be completely paid for. And I wouldn't have to go into debt if I don't want to. for those that are on campus and they're 18, 19, 20, 21, 22 years old, it's a very different conversation on whether it's actually meeting their needs and their family needs. For a lot of our adult learners, this doesn't actually meet all of their needs either because their school is more expensive, or maybe it does and it allows them to be able to pay for supplies and things in life in a manner that fits their needs. But I still will stand by this, that this needs a deeper look and a larger consideration and not just a quick, I'm not saying that your response to this is negative in any way when I say this, but rather than a quick response of let's increase fees to meet these needs, I want us as a committee and as a body of Congress to pause for a minute and say, wait a minute, is that actually meeting the needs of our 1,100 kids? Not even kids, actually. I want the stats on the ages of the people enrolled in this program or assistance. I guarantee you most of them are adults. I would just venture to bet that based on what we hear from our WELAs and our executive branch departments and all these people pursuing degrees, and we know stories of people pursuing degrees, they're adults. This looks different. So I feel like we need to take a larger look at this. I'm not saying that increasing current rates is a negative thing either, honestly. It doesn't put a massive drain on the fund. In fact, it really doesn't affect anything at all. It's $210,000, if I'm being transparent about it. But I don't know that it's the full answer. And I want this committee, I've asked this committee to take deeper looks at WELA and DePosca. And I think next I'm asking you that this needs a bigger look. Overall, we need to be able to say with certainty that we have considered all of our students, wherever they are at, and that we are attempting to meet their needs the best that we can. There's my 2 cents. Committee, anything else? Congresswoman Lemon?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I hear you, and meeting needs is a really broad term, because my need for my daughter is going to be different, because I've had kids in college since 2014, and I don't necessarily think that we're required to raise the amount every year. It's something that we have a choice, that we either want to do it or we don't want to do it, and we've always done it, but it doesn't mean we always have to either. And that's what I also hear you saying, in essence, of a deeper look into it. Disbursement amounts based off of a needs assessment, possibly, you know, because meeting needs is a really broad term. I know for a fact that it meets some people's needs completely. I know for a fact that it doesn't meet other people's needs completely, because my kids have been in school since 2014. This can be a sticky subject, because people will say, well, you don't support the education, or you don't support the kids. That's not true. One vote does not mean you don't support a certain population or group. It may be that you've decided that when you sit in these seats and you see other needs that are out there besides just education, you might start thinking, well, we've increased this every year, talking about what's in front of us, or we've increased another benefit every year, but we haven't increased a benefit we haven't even thought about. There's been some talk about that, you know, about looking at other areas where we could meet some needs. People are going to get tired of hearing us say meet needs. However, I could go either way on this increase, and that directly affects a child that I have. And you have to say, well, how, you know, is that objective? I could vote no for this and be okay with that. But that's, everybody has their own set of prerogatives and what they're walking through with their education. And so I could vote yes for it and be okay with it also, because it's not a huge drain on the fund. But I'm ready to do that. I'm ready to look into this to find out, because this is not a scholarship. This is a grant. There's not any major requirements
to receive this money. And we, if all of us who have been to school in here, and if we've all been into school at different times and applied for scholarships, we know what that process is like for some. Some of them are exuberant. Some of them not much of anything, a 250-word essay. That's nothing, right? So I don't know where I'm at on this one. I'm on the fence with it right now because I have experience with my own children, and I know that her needs are met right now. And she's going to be in school again for two more semesters, you know? And then if she decides to go to get her master's, she's my baby, of course, but we work really hard on finding other actual scholarships to help fund everything else that she has to have funded. This pays for all of her tuition as of right now. Thank you.
Committee, anything else? Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to make a motion to report CA 2496 to Congress the due pass recommendation.
Second.
Committee, there's a motion and a second. Any discussion? Okay. All of those in favor of the motion, please say yes.
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 Yes. Yes.
Any opposed? The motion passes. And ONCA 24-96 will be sent to Congress with a due pass recommendation. The next item on our agenda is adjournment.
So moved. Second.
There's a motion and a second. All of those in favor? Please say yes.
Yes.
Sorry. Any opposed? No. Okay. Not opposed. We are adjourned.